Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live on Football Full Circle, FFC, right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Today is Wednesday, May 10th. But Scott, the NFL owns the calendar like no other sport. An announcement of an announcement is a very big deal in the National Football League. And just a few days ago, we got the official announcement of the schedule. That schedule release day in the National Football League would be tomorrow, Thursday, May 11th. But that came with a few contingencies, Scott, that we would get a few more key matchups released to us in the next 48 hours leading up until Thursday, May 11th. And Scott, we've seen that in a big way here. The international games for 2023 have been announced. A couple of more key matchups around the holiday schedule have been announced as well. And for the first ever time, Scott, in the history of the National Football League, a Black Friday game on the day following Thanksgiving. So the schedule is released in full tomorrow, Scott, but we get some news and notes today as well.
Yeah, what's going on, Ben? It kind of reminds me of a big trade in baseball or NBA or any sport for that matter, right? What happens first up? They leak the news to the media, right? They don't confirm it. They just leak the news so you get one day's newsworthy. Then the next day, the teams actually announce the trade. And then the next day, the teams bring the trade players in to go hold a press conference. So you get 3 days for the one real trade. This is kind of what the NFL does, you know? Only the NFL can make an announcement about making an announcement. It really is remarkable. Bunch of things we could break down. Jags getting two games in London. You know, the big Miami Kansas City game, which everyone was looking forward to, still will, but that's going to be in Germany now, not Kansas City. And a couple of quirks with the Christmas Day and the New Year's Day that I want to bring up that has me scratching my head.
Yeah, so Scott, we'll dive into all of that. Let's start with the international games that we have, because as they were detailed by ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier this morning, week four, the first international game of the year, the Falcons and the Jaguars in London. Week number five, Jacksonville just stays across the pond. They will take on the Bills at Tottenham at their stadium, also in North London. Week number six, it's the Ravens and Titans in Tottenham in North London. Week number nine, the Dolphins and the Chiefs go to Frankfurt. And the following week, week number 10, it's Indianapolis and New England in Frankfurt as well. So, Scott, back-to-back games for Jacksonville in London. How do you think the Jags feel about that?
Well, they signed up for it. They were supposed to have it the COVID year, but the games got canceled because of that a couple of years ago. So, but they were okay with it. They raised their hand and said, yeah, they sent us over there. Interesting, though, Ben, one of the little quirks, they're not losing two home games, though, which I find interesting. They're losing one road game, one home game at Atlanta. That was supposed to be at home. And then the Bills game was a road game aligned. So they're not losing two home games, so that might help matters a little bit for Jacksonville. Back-to-back, I think this might be a precursor, right? I mean, if you're over there, I was wondering if they were going to, you know, be there in like October and then back again in November, but I wonder if back-to-back weekends are going to be the next thing for teams out. You know, hey, no longer are you going to be over there just once. You're going to be over there twice.
And Scott, the big
story behind that right now for Jacksonville as you look overall at what their road schedule is going to be like. Their true road games now in 2023, three divisional games, of course, against Tennessee, Indianapolis, and Houston. On the road, most likely in Cleveland, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and against Pittsburgh. Only one of those teams, the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a winning record last year, and the Steelers were just 9-8. So, Scott, we spent a lot of time talking about Jacksonville this offseason. Surprisingly, one of three teams in the eight divisions in the National Football League that are an odds-on favorite in minus money to win their respective division, that being the AFC South. You can see how the overall record would shape up for Jacksonville, Scott, where they could maybe have a favorable slate to put together 10 or 11 wins and really have a stronghold in the AFC South division.
Yeah, you know, and you got a game against Atlanta that at home you would think you'd be favored in that game and win, and now you go in a neutral site and it's kind of a toss-up, even though the fans are obviously familiar. And that's the one thing about this, Ben, you know, for your Jacksonville, you know, when you're not any good like they haven't been over the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's like, all right, fine, you know what, you want to put us over there, we'll take one for the league. But yeah, they're going to be good, right? They were good last year, obviously. They're supposed to be good. You know, you don't want to play two games overseas if you really don't have to, right? I mean,
yeah.
I think, you know, it's, like I said, if you're not any good, no big deal, but they should be a good team. I wouldn't have signed up for that, but they did. They clearly did.
There's something, Scott, with the Jaguars and London. I don't know if it's literally because the premier British car line, the Jaguar, is literally that, but there has always been this kinship since the NFL started playing London games. That's what Jacksonville will have to deal with. Two of them coming up in 2023. We'll be back on Football Full Circle with some more notes from the schedule release before the schedule release in the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back here on Football Full Circle all across the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159 included in that as well. He's Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. It's the Wednesday before the schedule release on a Thursday, May 11th, but little bits and pieces coming out and officially released about what that schedule is going to look like in the National Football League in 2023. So, Scott, we mentioned the five international games that we have for this year with the Falcons, the Jaguars in London, the Jaguars and the Bills also in London, the Ravens and the Titans in London, the Dolphins Chiefs in Frankfurt, and Colts Patriots in Frankfurt as well. The Jaguars becoming the first NFL team to play back-to-back games in London, weeks 4 and 5. And then some holiday news and notes as well. For the first time ever, Scott, in the history of the NFL, there will be a Black Friday football game the day following Thanksgiving, a day generally reserved for a college football slate. Scott, the NFL makes their inroads there. Black Friday will feature an AFC East divisional showdown between Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins heading to MetLife to take on Aaron Rodgers and his New York Jets teammates. Scott, what is your reaction to having a Black Friday NFL game on the day following Thanksgiving?
Yes, and oh, by the way, point spreads are out for these games. Jets, a 2.5-point favorite on FanDuel over the Dolphins, which I find interesting. Yeah.
I would have thought that was a bigger number, Scott.
I would have thought so, too. I would have thought, because by then, you know, it was like we joke about this, but we're not joking. But by then, you know, Tua could have about 5 concussions. You know, and we could be back. I say we as a Dolphin. You know, the Dolphins could be down to their third-string quarterback heading into that game. So I've been calling for this, Ben, since I don't know how long. And I think this could be the precursor to it all. I really do. And that is, if the NFL wanted to have a Friday night schedule, And I know over the years I've asked and I get the same response, but oh, they don't want to go head to head against the high school football. And I'm saying to myself, are you serious with that answer? Because there is no doubt in my mind TBS, TNT, Amazon, whatever would pay billions as NBC and ABC and CBS does for TV rights. You're telling me the NFL is saying no because of Topeka High versus Stanford High? You know, I mean, they're turning down billions for that. So I think, you're going to get monster ratings. They're going to blow away the college football, whatever games are on, that day, as we always have. And I think the NFL over the next year or two tops will say, what are we doing? We got a Friday night wide open. Why wouldn't we have a Friday night game if we could put $1 billion extra in our pocket? So I think this is, like I said, the precursor to what's to come within the next year or two tops. I really do believe that.
So, Scott, it's really a sign of what is happening, where the NFL has started to control the calendar, and they really don't back down to anybody, making business-savvy moves to help their TV partners make the biggest TV rights deals and sports media deals that we see, billions and billions of dollars in revenue. But it is interesting, Scott, because this is going to continue between the NFL and college football. It is already happening, and it is going to continue to happen. I'll get to that in just a moment. But there is something, Scott, in U.S. law called the Sports Broadcasting Act of 1961 that was virtually put into place to protect college football fall Saturdays until mid-December and high school Friday nights until mid-December as well. It is essentially a U.S. law that helps college football own fall Saturdays. The NFL owns fall Sundays, and it keeps and protects high schools and colleges for those other 2 days. So there are always loopholes. It's an old law, obviously, made in 1961. I'm sure there are updates to it and what might happen, but there are certain protections in place, Scott, from the U.S. government that do hold on to what we see, at least through mid-December, in terms of Friday night action and protecting the high school game and Saturdays, for the most part, and protecting college football. The NFL can always make some hay, but there is that in place, Scott, at least for the time being, to keep the NFL from encroaching even further on Friday nights.
But we do have Friday night college football, though, now. So correct. I wonder why college football could do it, but not the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not entirely sure, Scott. I think it has to do with professional nature. But as we all know, college football is also a billion-dollar TV revenue business at this point as well. In limited capacity, and we see a Friday night football game for college pretty much each and every week, really starting at week number 1 and 2, Scott. So we see a lot of football there as well. So I think the NFL probably skirts on those same guidelines and finds their way into it. It is interesting, though, Scott, because college football has long owned Black Friday. It's the final weekend of the regular season. Some historic rivalries, Iowa, Nebraska, the Civil War between Oregon State and Oregon. Some great Big 12 games this year, TCU, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Texas. It's the final weekend of the college football regular season, so some games that would seem to be incredibly impactful. But now you have an NFL game at 3 p.m. Eastern time on Black Friday as well. And Scott, it's not just this battle between TV broadcast rights and ownership between the NFL and college football starting next year in 2024 when we expand to a 12-team college football playoff. The college football playoff semifinals, so that would be what we consider now, or the quarterfinals rather, what we consider now, no, it's the semifinals, excuse me. The semifinal round is going to be played on Thursday and Friday nights, Scott, as to not compete with Super Wild Card Weekend, Saturday through Monday, for the National Football League, the second full weekend, excuse me, in January. So that's how the schedule lays out now for college football in comparison to the NFL, where it seems, Scott, whatever way you try to conceptualize it, college football is bowing to the pressure that is the NFL, recognizing the National Football League is always king.
Yeah. And one of the games that Friday for college football is Miami versus Boston College. not a humongous game, but it is still Miami. So I wonder, if the NFL says we're playing at 3:30, we don't care what you're doing. I wonder if the college football changes their schedule, make sure Miami plays either earlier or later, or same thing with TCU, Oklahoma, and some of these other ones that are halfway decent games. Yeah, I mean, it's only if there are no laws that prevent the NFL. They could run over college football, Ben. They just could. If they wanted to have a Saturday night game, right? There's not as many clearly Saturday night college football games as there are Saturday afternoons. They could, and they would blow college football out of the water. There's no doubt about it. It's just a matter of, are there enough networks that would televise the games, and how far does the NFL want to push things? Because they're getting huge. Like I said, we're having an announcement today. In fact, one of the things I wanted to bring up, They're having three, believe it or not, Christmas Day games. They only announced one, the Giant game, or the I forget who it was offhand. But
yeah,
why would you announce
right, the
just
Giants
one?
And the Eagles? Correct.
Giants and Eagles, yeah. So right. Why would you announce just one? I mean, but that's the NFL, the buildup and anticipation. I was saying to myself, boy, there's only one Christmas Day game? Really? That's kind of weird. And then I was reading into it, like, no, that's just one of three. They're going to have the other two tomorrow. Why would you do that? Right? I mean, but that's the NFL. They want this anticipation and buildup. It's amazing how big it's gotten. It's amazing.
The NFC East divisional rivalry, the NFC divisional round rematch from last year. Philadelphia hosts New York on that Monday, Christmas Day, December 25th, 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. It will be one of three, I believe, Scott, as people have tried to find the intricacies in the schedule. One of three triple headers on a Monday night this year. So that will be very interesting as things continue as well. Scott, what are the other points that you wanted to make about the schedule around the holidays?
Well, one, also, we're real quickly on the London and Germany thing. There's only one NFC team out of the 10 possible teams, like Jaguars twice, but only Atlanta Falcons. Everyone else is an AFC team. So all the AFC teams obviously got the home games. Yeah, right? Kind of weird that you wouldn't have Dallas or Green Bay or San Fran. There's plenty of good teams in the NFC you could have over there, but only Atlanta.
Only Atlanta, the only NFC team out of the nine in total going, because the Jaguars are staying in London for back-to-back weeks. More FFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
So the full 2023 National Football League schedule is released tomorrow on Thursday, May 11th, but a couple of games for some marquee matchups and some big days on the calendar have already been released. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. This is Football Full Circle, live on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, the five international games that we have this year, three in London, two in Frankfurt, Germany. We have a Black Friday game for the first time in the history of the National Football League. One of the three we can anticipate for Christmas Day, Monday, December 25th, is out in NFC East rivalry between the Giants and the Eagles. And just about 6 days later, a Sunday, but New Year's Eve, December 31st, Cincinnati and Kansas City, the second to last week of the NFL regular season. So, Scott, where things stand right now, a couple of these lines are already out for these games that we have, eight in total, the five international games, three marquee matchups around that holiday portion of the 2023 calendar. And this marquee matchup, Scott, that we have in Arrowhead on Sunday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, is a 3.5-point spread in favor of KC. Of course, it is a rematch of the AFC Championship game from the previous two seasons. But in the regular season, Scott, it has been the Bengals each of the last 2 years getting the better of the Chiefs. So you already see the Bengals as an underdog getting 3.5 points on the road in Arrowhead. It's fun to look at these lines, Scott, and get ready for a new college football season, or NFL season,
yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah, a couple things. You try and figure out, you know, what those teams would be like, you know, obviously 3 months into the season. And two, how would the lines change, you know, with the international games anyway? Would the Jacksonville really be only a 4-point favorite? Are you getting value, hate that phrase, against Atlanta by grabbing Jacksonville at -4? Same thing with Buffalo. I think they would probably be a little bit bigger favorite than -3.5. If that game was in Buffalo versus overseas. You know, the other thing, Ben, I should know this, so shame on me if I don't, but looking at this, Cincinnati, Kansas City, they say, okay, Sunday, December 31st. So does that mean that's the only game? Or is it, and the NFL is going to have their Sunday on what, Monday, New Year's Day? Or is that just one of the games, like the Giants and Eagles for Christmas? That's only one of the three. So I'm not sure the NFL is doing it this year.
I think, Scott, and I may be wrong here, I think it is going to be the marquee primetime game. Maybe we see a full primetime game, but they released it, I think, as part of the holiday schedule. I think they'll stay to that Sunday. I don't know this for sure either. But the reason I say that, Scott, is because that Sunday, December 31st, obviously the NFL plays on Sunday. But Monday, as of right now, is the college football playoff semifinals, January 1st, New Year's Day, CFP semifinals, a couple other New Year's Six bowls as well. A day that has long been associated with college football as well, Scott, is New Year's Day. So I think just given the actual day of the week being Sunday on New Year's Eve, they are probably going to play most of their games that week. I'm sure we'll have a triple header that Saturday, December 30th, just because it's the time of the calendar, week 17, where the NFL plays triple headers on Saturday regardless. But I think most of the slate is going to be on that Sunday. A little different from this past year, Scott. If you remember, Christmas was Sunday, December 25th. So the NFL played most of their games on Saturday with a triple header on Christmas Day that far outdrew any of the NBA games that typically have had the stronghold on Christmas as well. I think, Scott, I don't know for sure. I guess we'll get the full details tomorrow when the entire schedule is released. But I think it was just to highlight one of the marquee matchups of the New Year's Eve slate because it still is a holiday.
Yeah, you're probably right, because if those college football games are set, and they are, you're right, if I didn't really think about that, there's no way they would have a full slate of NFL. I don't think they would do that. I'd be surprised if they did that. So that's just one of them. So interesting, though. Kansas City, I tell you, you know, they did it right, right? As far as, you know, you want to believe Cincinnati and Kansas City are going to be battling for maybe the number one spot right in AFC, and this would be not only maybe for the divisions, but the number one seed, home field advantage, yeah, and everything else, you know, that late into the season. Boy, what a way to finalize your regular season if that is the case with that one. So that's interesting. Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be a huge game, Scott. And the interesting thing, right, we don't know what's going to happen come week 17 and Sunday, December 31st. We don't know who's going to be healthy. We don't know what these rosters are going to look like. We don't know if the Bengals are going to be 13-2 or 2-13. We expect them to be closer to 13-2 than 2-13. But it is interesting to look at these lines, Scott, and get a sense of what the odds makers are expecting and what the power ratings say for each of these teams. We've had Super Bowl odds for a while. We've had win totals out now for just about a month. We've had playoff odds and conference odds and divisional prices to win your division. You get a sense, obviously, of what things seem to be for that upcoming season, but not really in comparison for an individual game outcome, Scott, against one another. So what the books are telling you at this moment is that Kansas City is 3.5 points better than Cincinnati. This game is played in Arrowhead in late December. That taken into account. But maybe, Scott, if this was a neutral field, it's 1.5, 2 points, and maybe it's a tighter margin between these two teams than we get a sense of elsewhere as you look at the futures market, where the Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl once again, 6-1 to win Super Bowl 58, the Bengals $4 back of that at 10-1, or in the AFC, where I don't think the Bengals should be priced behind the Buffalo Bills, but they are. The Chiefs are the favorites at +350, Buffalo $1 behind KC at +450, and the Bengals 50 cents behind that as well, a 5-1 number. So Scott, there's the $1.5 difference to win a conference championship, but in an individual game in Kansas City, the odds makers right now think the Chiefs are better by 3.5 points.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know what Cincinnati has to do. We said it last year to get any kind of real respect in the AFC. It really is amazing. Go to a Super Bowl, you know, one drive away from winning it. You know, good team, obviously, the next year as well. It is amazing. They just, boy, they just love this Buffalo Bills team. They just, you know, they still think that window is open. It probably is, but it's amazing no matter what Cincinnati does, no matter what Buffalo does. They're always going to be behind Buffalo for some goofy reason. I tell you one thing also with this international schedule, Ben, they didn't fool around this year. You know, you got some good games. If Jacksonville is, you know, makes the next step and it is a playoff team again, Jacksonville, Buffalo, great game, Baltimore, Tennessee, even division game and everything, or not division game, but good rivalry between those two teams, Dolphins, Kansas City, and even Colts and Patriots brings a little something to the table. So three straight weeks also. Did they do that last year? I don't think so, right? They're playing October 1st, 8th, and 15th, three straight weeks, and then not again until November. So, but they got some good games. It used to be they throw two dog teams over there, right? Jacksonville versus, you know, pick another lousy team, whereas now the Jaguars are actually good. So,
I think upon consideration on paper 3 years ago, if you looked at Jacksonville and Atlanta, you'd say, well, that's trash. Jacksonville just has the stronghold, it seems, in London for whatever reason. But the Jags are pretty good. And the Falcons actually have a win total of 8.5 this year, trying to take advantage of a weak NFC South. So that's a good game. The Jaguars a 4-point favorite. The Jags a 3.5-point underdog against the Buffalo Bills the following week in London. The Ravens and the Titans should be excited. Exciting. We'll see what Tennessee looks like come the middle of October and who might be the starting quarterback for that game. Chiefs Dolphins, obviously a really, really good game. Two contenders, we would think, for AFC playoff spots and maybe a conference championship. The Patriots and the Colts, it's a game, Scott, that a decade and a half ago we're salivating over. Right now, it's not necessarily the sexiest game, but we'll get to see that come middle November. Scott, some news for Tennessee, by the way. As we discussed in the lead up to the draft, Malik Willis could be cut by Tennessee, according to reports, before next season begins. I think he'll be there as a part of their training camp roster throughout these offseason workouts and OTAs and whatnot, but the Titans have not made it a priority and have not made it something they have really stuck with in the past to keep three quarterbacks on the roster. And it would seem that Tannehill, of course, is going to be there. And a guy you spent a second-round draft pick on just a couple of weeks ago in Will Levis, those are probably going to be the two QBs they go with. I say second-rounder for Will Levis. Malik Willis was a third-rounder. Again, day two, not just chump change, Scott, to say, hey, we picked him in the sixth round to see if he could be anything. No, it was a third-round investment into Malik Willis, a different general manager, a different front office, but it seems like Malik's time in Tennessee might be coming to a close here very soon.
Yeah, that's one thing. And then not to be able to even get a conditional draft choice for him, too, right? I mean, he wasn't a late round pick. You said a third round pick. A lot of people liked him. Obviously, a lot of people didn't last until the third round. But still, you would think after just 1 year, no matter how badly he played, poorly he played last year, you'd think someone would say, all right, yeah, well, we'll give you a sixth rounder, maybe a conditional fifth rounder. If they actually have to release him outright, boy, that is a telling story on Malik Willis for sure. And that's one of the games, you know, Tennessee, October 15th against Baltimore, you know, they're getting 5.5. You know, the boys in Vegas, you know, really buying into Baltimore, obviously with Lamar back, but really, I think to me, for a neutral site, for them to be almost a touchdown favorite, they're really jumping off this Tennessee bandwagon.
Big time, big time. A 7.5 win total for the Titans, who had 7 wins after 11 weeks of football last year, 10 games overall for Tennessee at 7-3, and then dropped their 7 next games to end out the regular season. Scott, I do want to go back to a game we discussed. It's the first ever Black Friday game in the NFL, in the history of the sport, between the Jets and the Dolphins. New York's only a 2.5-point favorite. I think that's so interesting. Given the optimism for the Jets in every other market, you would think New York is going to be favored in a ton of games. Only favored 6 times last year. You would think that's flipped around entirely. 6 times a favorite, 11 times a dog, if not more than that. So to only see a 2.5-point spread, Scott, let's discuss that up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle, the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Scott, let's keep diving through a couple of the games that we have released before the full schedule is released for the NFL season in 2023 tomorrow. And again, around the holidays, we have some of those marquee matchups out. For the first time ever in the history of the National Football League, a game on Black Friday. Black Friday football in MetLife, 3 p.m. Eastern time. The kick is scheduled for the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins. Scott, the New York Jets are a 2.5-point favorite. Maybe only a 2.5-point favorite is a better way to say that against the Dolphins. Now, let me start by saying this, Scott. Miami is going to be a good team. Miami was a playoff team last year, and they went into the playoffs with a third-string quarterback and really played decently against the Buffalo Bills in that football game. Miami is a team, Scott, that will contend for an AFC wildcard spot, maybe even the division in the AFC East, if Tua Tagovailoa remains healthy for 2023. They've gotten better on the defensive side of the football. You get Vic Fangio as your DC. Jalen Ramsey is there now, and I thought the Dolphins, Scott, despite not having a pick on the opening night of the NFL drafts, made some marquee improvements to that defensive side of the football. That is all to say, Scott, that Miami is going to be good. So maybe being less than a field goal underdog on the road against the New York Jets team that only won 7 games last year is not all that surprising, except this New York Jets team has Aaron Rodgers. And by all of the future prices, Scott, the New York Jets are going to be a true contender for an AFC championship and an appearance in Super Bowl 58. And yet you're less than a field goal favorite at home come the end of November. That was a surprising number to me.
Yeah. You know, out of all the lines, that's the one that may say the same thing, Ben. It jumps out. It's like, boy, that's a little low. You know, this is a home game for the Jets. It's not a, you know, Dolphin home game. And all these, you know, I think overblown, but still, you said it, overblown expectations for the Jets on the future markets for everything else, whether it's winning the division or the conference or the Super Bowl. Everything's pointing towards New York being the Jets. And yet then they're only going to be, you know, basically pick them. Less than a field goal to me is basically pick them at home.
Yeah.
That's the one that kind of jumps off the table, because you're betting. I don't know if you have 8 games. I don't know if any of them are really worthy for me right now as we sit in the beginning of May to put money down on a game that's going to be 5 months from now, or 6 months, really 7 months. But that would have been the one. You're banking on Tua being healthy, but I'll just say he will be. I think the Dolphins are the better team, and you know how I feel about the Jets. I think the Jets by that time are going to be under 500, and they're going to be debating on whether they should be playing Aaron Rodgers. Do we want to really give up a number one pick? Where are we going to sit him? You know, I think disaster will be set in by the Jets at that point, and the Dolphins will actually be favored.
So, Scott, that's a really interesting point, right? I would agree with you. I think the optimism from the odds perspective is overblown on the New York Jets, but it's there. The odds are the odds. We're not making those up. Scott's not telling you they have the fourth best price to win the AFC. I'm not saying the Jets win total should be 9.5. That's what the odds are. And this is also that additional number of 2.5. Like we talked about, Scott, for the Bengals and the Chiefs game on New Year's Eve that Sunday, you get an idea from an individual game perspective how these two teams compare to one another. 2 of the 3 best prices to win the AFC. But what does it look like as the Chiefs host the Bengals for an AFC championship rematch? And if the Jets have so much optimism, Scott, in the futures market, you would expect if New York's win total is 9.5 and the over has the juice, and Gangrene is favored to make the postseason at a -162 number, you would expect the New York Jets to be favored in what, Scott? 11, 12, 13 of their 17 regular season games this year? And you would expect that optimism to follow their odds into where things stand from a game-to-game perspective, and yet they really don't, at least in this one example. Again, the Dolphins are a good team. Miami could also be a 10-win football team. The Dolphins are a playoff team from a season ago and could do that once again, but I was a little bit surprised, Scott. I thought the optimism in the futures market would follow the Jets on a game-to-game basis, and it very well might for most of the season, but I thought that would make spreads a little bit outlandish, where you could kind of fade to the other side, getting an additional point just because there was so much optimism that might not be founded at this moment.
Yeah, and it's not even a pro-Dolphin thing. If fans just say, well, maybe they just think the Dolphins are going to be great. Because if that's the case, then the Dolphins wouldn't be a solid 5.5-point underdog to Kansas City on a neutral field. You know, if that game, what they're telling you is if that game was actually in Kansas City, the Dolphins would be a touchdown underdog. And a touchdown in the NFL is huge. So it's not a pro-Dolphin thing against the Jets, right? So, yeah, it doesn't make much sense. I'm curious to see when the schedules come out. You know, they generally put lines out for some of these games. I'm curious to see some of the other Jet games and see if it's not quite matching up to their futures.
Yeah, which I guess, Scott, then would be the opposite of what my approach was probably going to be for the Jets, instead of maybe fading them in the long-term futures market, because there's not all that many great numbers. I mean, I guess you could take the under of the win total or the under of their playoff number, but you can't bet them to not win an AFC championship. You can't bet them to not win Super Bowl 58. That maybe you look at the week-to-week basis to try to find some value. But if it's not really there, if the Jets aren't a 6.5-point favorite against insert other AFC team there, or they're not a 5.5-point favorite against a team from the NFC South, they're, you know, only a 3.5-point favorite, you're losing a little bit of that perceptive value, whatever it might be, because I really thought the odds on a game-to-game basis would be optimistic. Now, again, this is not necessarily just because of the Dolphins. They're a team that has a 9.5 win total as well, even on both sides, -110 to the over, -110 to the under. Scott, they're going to be a team that the odds makers consider right now a true playoff contender. When you look at the odds for Miami to make the playoffs, it's -105 to the yes, -115 to the no. Again, pretty even. And you would anticipate at least 9 wins, but certainly probably 10 wins, Scott, with how competitive the AFC is going to be. So that's both where the Jets and the Dolphins really are from the odds. It's just the Jets have so much more optimism because of Aaron Rodgers there than they ever have really in the past decade in any point of the offseason.
Yeah, and the only one you could really do to kind of go the other side, as we talked about before, is for the Jets to not make the playoffs. That's the one. Like I said, you can't bet them to not win the Super Bowl or not win the, but you can bet them to not make the playoffs, and that's still decent positive money, +132. I don't know when that would flip, one or two losses, but I still like that. I still think that's one of the better bets. Even if the Jets are halfway decent, they still might not make the playoffs because the AFC is so tough.
Right. And I think that's really kind of the crux of it too, Scott. You could bet the under of their win total. If the juice on the over is -134, that under right now is +110. And that's fine. Even 9-8 is a winning record, something the New York Jets have not had in quite some time and did not have even last year. But it's still interesting to me, Scott, because if it's the under of the win total at 9-8, you don't really think they're going to be a playoff team, but they could even go over that win total and be a double-digit win team and still not make the postseason based on divisional record, based on conference record, and what those tiebreakers might be around the AFC, because it's not just the Jets in the AFC East. Of course, the Bills are the favorites to win the division. The Dolphins should have a factor and a say as well. You could make a compelling argument, I think, Scott, for all four teams in the AFC North to have a say in the postseason conversation in the AFC. I think the AFC South is one team. I think it's the Jacksonville Jaguars or whoever ends up winning that division. But right now, the Jags being a -160 favorite. And then again, Scott, we're going to do the same thing in the AFC West. It's probably not met with the same optimism it was at this point last year when Russell Wilson was added to the fold. The Chargers got better defensively, yada, yada, yada. But you would still think, Scott, as it stands right now, the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos, with Sean Payton, their new head coach, will certainly at least be thought of as postseason contenders all throughout the year. So what's that right there? 10, 11 teams that we are going to factor into the AFC playoff conversation where only 7 can make it. So the Jets could go 10-7 and still, for whatever reason, be left on the outside looking in.
Yeah, I tell you, the AFC, this is why there's only one NFC going over to, overseas, over to Europe, right? Because the AFC is just loaded. I mean, just I don't think, outside of the Houston Texans, there's not a team that, if you told me, made the playoffs. Maybe the Colts, but, you know, who knows, with the young players over there. But I think there's a team that you could tell me, Ben, that if you told me made the playoffs, I'd be like, wow, no way, you know? Pittsburgh. Yeah. Okay. Kenny Pickett gets a little bit better. Showed some promise, obviously, last year. Good team. Yep. Patriots made the playoffs 2 years ago. So bounce back a little bit. One more year for them to kind of get their feet wet. Yep. Denver responds. Absolutely. Even the Raiders, I kind of like Jimmy G. The guy does is win. So maybe the Raiders even find a way to get into the postseason. Outside of Houston, really. I'd even buy into the Colts if you told me yes in that division.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think obviously one team is going to win the AFC South. The Jags are the favorites, but the Jags certainly were not the favorites entering last year, so maybe there is a surprising team with a young quarterback, or maybe Ryan Tannehill gets back to a level where he was really suitable as a starter in 2021. Who's to say? Mike Vrabel is a really good head coach. But, yeah, it's interesting, Scott. Pretty much any other team around the AFC, if you said they're getting in, fine. You mentioned the Steelers, a team that has not had a losing record now in 16 consecutive years with the same head coach in Mike Tomlin. And they were in playoff conversation entering the regular season finale last year. The Chargers finally into the postseason. There will be that optimism for Justin Herbert entering year number 4 now with a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. You would think the Broncos are going to be better. You would think, but we were spurned heavily by Denver last year, at least if you had any expectation for them. The Chiefs have won the AFC West 7 consecutive years. Jimmy G does have some pieces at his disposal, Scott. We'll see what it means for Las Vegas. I have my thoughts on Josh McDaniels as an NFL head coach. But again, there's so many teams that you could put an argument for or make a conversation into this about, Scott, of making the AFC postseason. It's going to be difficult. That's why some of the optimism for New York specifically and Aaron Rodgers is also one that I think you should have a little caution with because of how competitive the rest of their conference is going to be.
Yeah, and not only are the, for the most part, AFC teams going overseas to Europe, except for the Atlanta Falcons, the other marquee games, AFC teams, except for Giants and Eagles. That's it. So that kind of tells you. It's funny. If you told me one of those teams made the AFC playoffs, I'd say okay, because they're all good. And if you told me any of the NFC teams made the playoffs, I wouldn't be surprised either, but that's because they're all bad, So you have both ends of the spectrum there. The NFC is as wide open as the AFC, I suppose, just because any team that wants to actually put it all together might actually emerge out of the NFC.
Scott, as I'm staring at my screen here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Miami's odds to make the postseason, minus 105 to the yes, minus 115 to the no. I guess you could say they are slightly favored to miss the postseason. It is really interesting to look at the team right below Miami in alphabetical order, the Minnesota Vikings, plus 116 to be a playoff team. The no is favored at minus 142. It's crazy to see the Vikings in what is going to be an up-in-the-air NFC conference, what is going to be an up-in-the-air NFC North as a division, favored to miss the postseason. A 13-win football team last year, Scott Wetzel. A 13-win football team. I know 11 of them came by a single score, and maybe that's the luck factor, but still a little bit insane. We'll wrap up Football Full Circle up next here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're back for just a few more minutes live right here on FFC. Football Full Circle, the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. So, Scott, it is interesting as we finish out with the conversation that the AFC is such a gauntlet, at least based on expectation from a conference perspective as a whole. It's going to be hard to find your way into the playoffs, but if a couple of teams that are right on the brink did, we wouldn't be overly surprised. It's the same sentiment in the NFC because outside of the Eagles and the Niners, who have some quarterback questions to answer themselves this offseason, who are the great teams in that conference? I don't really know, Scott. So it's so up in the air that if insert X team here or insert Y team over there made it into the playoffs in the NFC in 2023, I don't think we'd be overly surprised either.
Yeah, but the only team I'd be surprised with would be the Washington Commanders, which I don't understand, Ben. We didn't have time to get into it because the schedule, great, obviously, to talk about. But I don't know what I'm missing with the Colts accusing Washington of tampering with Andrew Luck. I mean, why would the Colts be if Washington can convince Andrew Luck to come out of retirement, Colts still own his rights. You imagine what you could get for Andrew Luck in a trade, or the Washington Commanders convince Luck to come out of retirement and you, the Colts, step in and say, hey, yeah, come play with us for a couple more years then. Well, why would the Colts be upset about Washington? I don't, unless it's just an anti-Daniel Snyder thing.
Yeah, I don't know. There's that budding rivalry, I guess, between Jim Irsay, who was really one of the first owners to call out Daniel Snyder, and for all the things that he has done off of the football field, or at least away from his football organization. Maybe there's that. I'm also not sure why Washington is trying to get Andrew Luck out of retirement and simply not drafting a quarterback when they could have moved up the board with the 16th overall pick. But yeah, Scott, maybe Washington would be surprising, but they were in postseason consideration until the second to last week of the regular season before their head coach realized it could have been an elimination game. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. That does it for us today on Football Full Circle. But up next, live right here on Sports Grid Radio, it's The Moneyline.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.